You may be seated. I want to make you aware of just a few things by way of announcement. First of all, I want to say a public thank you to Pastor Dixon in Yorkville. Many of you know a couple weeks ago we had an issue with one of the boilers downstairs. Called the heating and cooling company that put in the boiler system and came out and gave us an estimate all total with their initial come out to diagnose the problem, and then in order to fix the problem, it was going to cost us somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2,200 to fix the issue with the boiler system. Found out exactly what the part was that was needed. Got a hold of Brother Dixon, and he has a way to get parts. And so he was able to get the part for us, and then he and I were able to put the part in probably less than an hour and get the whole system up and running. So we saved ourselves some money that way, some in the neighborhood of about almost $900. And then I, in a polite way, I kind of sent a grievous email, or an email with some just concern about the way that things were handled and the estimate that we were given and breakdown in communication, other things, and through a couple email exchanges with the owner of the heating and cooling company, and I won't tell you who it is. I don't want any negative press along those lines, but I will say that they did respond favorably, and they even took some money off the initial bill. And so we even saved a little bit more money that way. So all total, we saved church about $1,000 via doing that. So it's always good when you can save that kind of money. Amen. And so I want to publicly thank Pastor Dixon for helping us out in that endeavor and making it possible for us to get the part. Also, I want to let you know that our Breeze Church Management software, now the online giving portion is available, and so you can log on, and if you would like to set up online giving, you can do that. I will tell you this, Brother Kellum has set that up for himself and his family, and if he's, in my mind, if he's willing to do that, he thinks it's secure enough and it's encrypted and he has no worries. And so he was the first, if you will, the guinea pig, if you will, on that. And so if you have questions about that and you would like to set that up via your own account, you can certainly do that. If you have questions, you can see him concerning that. So just another way, another area that we're using church management software. We even have it set up where you can text to give. And so I don't know how many would be open to using that function, but you can do that via, if you come to church, you've maybe forgot your wallet, you still want to give in the offering, that's a way that you can do that as well. So just more opportunities, more availability. We have those that have volunteered to help us in keeping attendance and inputting the information. And so the more information we have in that program, the better we're able to serve you with the things that are happening therein. Please remember our events. The calendar is there to let you know what is happening when, and that will be our primary source of communication, but do want to remind you that. Also, March the 24th, which is a Friday, from 6 to 7:30, what? It's full. That's awesome. We, what, 25 slots, people to go? It's already complete. So thank you for those who signed up already. What this is a program that we're going and being a part of called Feed Our Starving Children, where we go and we put packages together to be taken to individuals, mainly children in need. And so we go there, and it's kind of like a symbolized about an hour and a half of work together where you can work with your family. Those five and above are able to go, and so my whole family will be there. And then we pray over what we're doing. We pray at the end. And so it's just looking forward to this time together. And so thank you for your overwhelming response, and already got all 25 slots filled from people from this church. So that is awesome. I thank you. Give yourselves a hand. Your response in that, please want to remind you that our Sunday format has changed. And I feel like last Sunday being the first Sunday, was it completely without a hitch? No. But did it go very well? I believe it did. And we had a great time Sunday morning. And then those of us that gathered together for the marriage seminar on on Sunday night, another good time together. So we're continuing that this Sunday, so please be reminded. From 10 to 10:45 is the Sunday school session. Brother Bill Kellum will be teaching in that session this coming Sunday morning, and then our evangelistic service from 11 o'clock to whenever we dismiss. And then Sunday night, beginning 6 o'clock, the marriage seminar, so we're continuing in that. We're going to take some needs to the Lord in prayer. I know that there are needs represented here in the house, Sister Arlene. All right, let's remember. Certainly, let's remember Brother Jay in prayer, certainly. My wife's cousin, maybe if you want to go ahead and kind of let people know so we can pray. Her name is Jennifer. Let's remember Jennifer in prayer. Anybody else have a Sister Doris? All right. Certainly, let's continue to lift Keith up before the Lord. Sister D. Certainly. Good. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Yes, certainly. Certainly. Great report. Also, we've prayed in the last couple of weeks for Brother Darrell Williams, pastor of the church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. He is home. They have released him. He's doing very well. And so I know that he would covet your continued prayers concerning his recovery. Brother Mike. All right, certainly. Anybody else? All right, why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord. Yes. Sorry. Certainly. Let's go to the Lord right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. God, we thank you that we can come together, we can bind together, touching these things. That we may not be able to remember every need, every name, Lord, we know that you do. Oh, you know what we have need of before we ask or even think it, God. And you know, God, the situations and circumstances represented here in the house, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would work and that you would move, that you would help us, God, to be ministers, God, to reach forth our hands to heal, to speak words of life, God, encouragement into situations, Lord, to do what we can, God, to be a light in darkness, shining forth your love and your help and your strength, God, whether it be a co-worker dealing, God, with situations, Lord. We know, God, that you're able, God, give us words of wisdom, God, to help, God, to speak life into the situation, God, to give them strength, God, to persevere and press on in you, God, ultimately that they would turn their heart and mind to you, God, to find your help and your strength for those battling terminal illness, God. We believe and trust in your power. You're a healer, God. You're a help. You're a strength, God. We can depend upon you and trust in you, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your truth, and your love, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study entitled The Way. We introduced it 2 weeks ago with a kind of an overview talking about the way. And we mentioned that before there was denominations, before there were certain terms or certain affiliations, there were those that the Bible talked about the way, being in the way. And talk about how that Paul himself, at the beginning, was a persecutor of those in the way, but then he himself, once he has a conversion, he says, after this way, which they call heresy, now I serve. Now I am a part of this way. And so what we want to do is look at what the Bible has to say about what the way of salvation is. Not what we as Pentecostals may say, not what other denominations or affiliations may say, but what does thus saith the Word of God? What does the Word of God say concerning what the way is, the way to make heaven our home, the way to have salvation in our lives? And when we introduced it, we talked about the elements. We talked about the three elements that were there. They were even throughout the Old Testament. They were exampled in what took place in the tabernacle and in the temple. We talked about the blood. We talked about water. We talked about spirit. We talked and we paralleled those with the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We talked about how that those elements are applied in our lives, if you will, when we repent, are baptized, and we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we kind of introduced it. Then last week we went kind of into a deep dive concerning repentance, concerning that death or the blood element when something is killed, how that the old man is crucified. And we talked about what true repentance is. And how true repentance is, there's evidence in the life of someone who is truly repentant. We talked about how that repentance is powerful, how it's essential, how that it's wonderful, that repentance is miraculous. It's a wonderful thing. How that just as we denote when someone is baptized or someone receives the Holy Ghost, we should also celebrate when someone repents of their sins. When someone comes to God in repentance. And so we did a deep dive, if you will, into repentance. Now that I think about it, deep dive is probably better for baptism. So tonight we're going to talk about that second part, if you will. We talked about the blood. We talked about death and how that those things are typified, if you will, in repentance. And so now we move on to baptism. And so we want to look at what baptism is, how baptism works. And so you say, well, Pastor, this stuff we know. We've heard this for years. Well, maybe you have. But it's good that we're reminded. The Bible says that we are to give an answer. When someone talks to us, when someone may question us about what we believe concerning the Word of God, I would hope that we would have an answer that is ready, that we would be able to quote Scripture. Yes, Acts 2:38 is a wonderful Scripture and one that many of us have memorized and can quote by heart. But what about other Scriptures? What about other evidence that is in the Bible which shows us the way, which gives us the understanding of what is what we would call essential to one's salvation, the way? And so tonight we're going to look at baptism. Let's start out with the last command of Jesus. This is, as Jesus is leaving the earth in the sense of his earthly ministry, his time here on earth. This is after the death, burial, and the resurrection. This is just prior to his ascension into heaven. He is talking with his disciples. And it's recorded in three different passages in the Bible. And the first one we want to look at is Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then Luke chapter number 24, verses 47 through 49. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. If we've been around Pentecost any length of time, we've been around the apostolic message, these passages, these verses of Scripture are something that hopefully we can readily recall. We may not be able to cite the actual location of the passage. It would be good if you could. But we can understand that the Bible gives us a directive, if you will, through the words of Jesus Christ himself, as he is conversing, as he is talking with his disciples, and they are some of the final words that Jesus has concerning those individuals that he has walked with, he has talked with, that he has taught for some in the neighborhood of about 3.5 years. And now Jesus is giving them this final command, if you will. It's the last command, if you will, of Jesus in regards to what they are to do. And it's found in these locations. But it's interesting, and it doesn't take much research or much study to understand that when Jesus is talking about going and tarrying in the city of Jerusalem, and it beginning at all among all nations at Jerusalem, we understand that Acts chapter 2 lets us know that the fulfillment of what Jesus is saying in Luke 24 begins to take place. The Bible tells us that there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. That's what the Bible says. And so here in Acts 2, we have the literal fulfillment of Luke chapter 24. Jesus tells them to go and tarry in Jerusalem, and that there at Jerusalem they will be endued with power from on high. And so as we look at the last command of Jesus there in Luke 24, verses 47 through 49, we must also understand that this is, while it is the last command of Jesus, it is the first command of the church. Think about that. It is the first command of the church. Peter, now standing up, the rest of the apostles, in response to the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? That was the last command of Jesus before he ascends and before he leaves the earth is now the first command of the church. Now Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, says this: Then Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those three elements, the death, the burial, the resurrection, blood, water, spirit. Those things that we have talked about since the beginning of the study and what we have called the way are there, Acts 2:38. It's one of the reasons why it is, if you will, one of the most, I hesitate to use the word, but popular scriptures in our organization or of our organization. Now, that doesn't mean that we say it's more esteemed or held in higher regard than any other passage in the Bible. It is not. But do we believe that there in the response of Peter as the first command of the church is the proper response to the gospel? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. That what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost is the message that we still teach and preach today. When someone were to ask me, Pastor Wells, what do I need to do to be saved? What I would tell them is repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Blood, water, spirit. Three elements. The way. That's the way we believe that someone is accessing salvation, that someone is making their applying salvation in their life by repenting of their sins, being baptized in his name, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Blood, water, spirit. Now, I realize there are many other denominations, or many other organizations, if you will, that do not hold that as being the plan of salvation. Again, as I've stated in times past, I am not saying we are right and they are wrong. What I'm saying is that the Bible is right. And when I want to find out what the way is, I want to align it with the Word of God. I don't care who's saying what. I want to align it with the Word. What does the Word of God tell me? It is the blueprint. It is the resource that we all must. It is, if you will, it is the truth. And so I must go to the source. I have to go to where the truth is that will tell me the way. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter how many others may say it. It's according to what the Word of God says. And I want to follow what the Word of God says. So let's talk about this baptism. Because when we're talking about baptism, we're talking about the application, if you will, of the water, the second element in the way. Well, what are we really talking about? If we were to break baptism down into two parts, if you will, essentially what we're talking about is the mode, what is done, The actions that are performed, what's done, what is done in baptism, what's the mode of baptism, and we're also talking about the formula, or what is said. What according to the Word of God, if I can get someone to comprehend and to understand via the Word of God that that is an element, that that is essential to one's salvation, that that is the way that they must be baptized, well then I must also be able to answer how that baptism takes place. I must be able to tell them what is to be done in baptism and what is to be said. Is it important? The Word of God tells me it's important. The Word of God reveals it is important. If it's important in the Word of God, I believe it should be important to me. Amen? If the Word of God is showing me the way to be baptized, I want to know what that way is. If I can look into the Word of God and the Word of God will show me the way to be baptized, well then I want to know what that way is. If being baptized is applying that element of water in my life, that essential element of salvation, that way, if you will, then I want to know what that is. I want to know what is to be done. How is someone to be baptized? What is to be said in the baptism? Is it ceremonial? Yes, to some degree it is. Certainly. And as a ceremony, if you will, as something that is sacred, as something that we should hold in very high regard and should reverence very much, yes, it does matter. I maybe to insert a little humor, but my wife showed me a video the other day of a guy, I guess, who was a former wrestler, I think. And I don't know, but he was very energetic in the way that he was baptizing people. Now I would say this: he was immersing them rather quickly and rather violently, if you will, and more like a body slam burial into the water, which I felt kind of odd, and I thought to myself, well, wait a second, this. There should be some sacred. Yes, it's a time of celebration, but it's also something that should be highly revered. It's something that should be sacred. This is a very special moment in someone's life, and I'm not coming against. I'm simply saying I wish that what was done and how it was performed was done in a way that in my mind seemed more proper. And a proper response to what is taking place. Does that make sense to you? And so in light of that, when someone is to be baptized, well, is there a way that has happened? Now, let me just state off the bat. It was some years ago, but a good friend of mine that I had grown up with in school, and he was of another persuasion, another denomination, and as we got into the subject of baptism and we began to talk about its essentiality, and he began to bring up the argument, well, it's an outward expression of an inward work of faith. I said, well, where do you see that in the Bible? Let's go to the source. Where do you see that in the Bible? Well, you don't really see that anywhere in the Bible. I said, okay, so what are you basing that on? Well, I'm basing that on, and then all the hypotheticals start being presented. Well, what if someone's not physically able to be immersed in water? They're not physically able to be baptized, but they believe that baptism is essential, and you're telling me that person is not saved. And I said, no, I'm not telling you. I don't tell you who's saved and who's not saved. What I'm telling you is what the Word of God tells me. And I said, even in the Word of God, there was a man in the middle of the desert who came to his understanding of need to be baptized. And all of a sudden, there's water in the middle of the desert. And Philip says, here's water. What doth hinder? The man said, here's water. Let's make it happen. Now, I get that, and there are many voices, and there are many people which often when you get into this topic will try to bring up hypotheticals and try to bring up ways around it. But what does the Word of God say? If I really look at the Word of God with an open heart, and I really want to know what the way is, and I'm not looking for loopholes, and I'm not trying to find ways around, I want to know what the way is. I want to know what's to be done, and I want to know what's to be said. So essentially, the mode of what is done, the formula of what is said, let's get into it. Well, when you look at the word in the Bible and it talks about baptize or baptizing, the root word of that is baptizo. That means to dip, to submerge, to immerse. Nowhere in the Bible, catch this, nowhere in the Bible do we have the word for baptism that is aligned with sprinkling. Nowhere. Everywhere in the Bible did we see the mode of someone being baptized or someone's being baptized. It is baptizo, which means to dip, to submerge, or to immerse. Furthermore, when we look at the example of the Bible and the types that the Bible gives us with burial, we don't bury someone by sprinkling some dirt on them. We bury them by putting them under. And the Bible tells us that we are buried with him in baptism. And so we understand that according to the Word of God, if I want to look at the Word of God, And I want to dispel dogma, and I want to take away other doctrine and just look at the Word. What does the Word of God say? The example that I have in the Word of God for everyone that was baptized is that they were submerged. They were immersed in water. Let's look at those. Look at John 3:23. And John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Acts 8:38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He submerged him. He immersed him with water, in water. Acts 8:39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught up away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Into the water, out of the water. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're buried with him in baptism. We are immersed. We are submerged. That's why we teach, we preach, we believe. That's why we have a baptismal tank where we take someone down into water and we immerse them in water. We submerge them in water. Why? Because the Bible tells us, the Bible shows us the way. The Bible gives us, and it's not ambiguous terms. It's not something that we have to scratch our head about and try to figure out. It's not something that if we look at, even in a logical way, we can understand the Word of God is expressly understood that we baptize or we submerge, we baptizo, we dip or immerse someone in water. Say, well, what about individuals that are just not able to get into the water? They're not. Listen, there are many. If someone really wants to be baptized, I don't know of any extenuating circumstance that completely kept someone from being baptized, immersed in water. Now, there's all kind of hypotheticals that one may be able to present. And again, I would tell you, I am not judge. Say that again. I am not judge. But guess what? I have never, ever, in all my years of ministry, had anybody who posed that question to me who themselves were not able at that moment to be submerged. They were able. And so I, without hesitation, would look at them and say, well, even if you would find an extenuating circumstance where that did apply, I'll leave that up to God, but it doesn't apply to you. Because at this moment, there's nothing prohibiting you from being submerged in the name of Jesus. So now the question is obedience. Now the question is, once the way is there and it's shown, do I do what the Bible says? Once that mode is there, do I, in obedience, do what the Word of God says? Because the Word of God is plain. The mode of baptism is by immersion in water. It's not a secret. It's not shadowy. It's very explicit that you and I, as individuals, if we are going to participate in the way to be baptized, then that mode, that way, is by immersion in water. Okay, so let's talk about what is said. We can agree that, and there's quite a few denominations that still believe when someone performs and if you will, experiences baptism, and that baptism should be by immersion in water. But then what's to be said? If we can agree that the mode is that someone is to be immersed in water, they're to be submerged or dipped in water, then what's to be said? What's the formula, if you will? Now, again, I have many times I have made this statement, and I hope that you will understand this statement. When we talk about the name of Jesus, I recognize that the name of Jesus, when we say Jesus, it is the English transliteration. I understand that. When they baptize and they're Spanish speaking, they would say, "I baptize you in the name of Jesus." Right? Chinese, different. So it's not about the pronunciation. Okay, let's just make that understood right now. It's not about the pronunciation. It is about the revelation. It is about the understanding who we are appealing unto, who we are calling upon, who we are invoking. And if I am going to call someone, understand this, if I am going to appeal to someone, if I am going to invoke someone, one is singular. Catch this. That's why I do not shy away. I do not for one moment skip over Matthew 28:19. I believe that when we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, it is the name of the Father. It is the name of the Son. It is the name of the Holy Ghost. Name is singular. And if I'm going to invoke or I'm going to call upon, if I just said, "Father," think about it. If I just said "Son," think about it. But if I say "Jesus," I am invoking the one. Remember what John said. These three agree in one. There is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three agree in one. So when I baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, or if someone who speaks Spanish baptizes in the name of Jesus, when they are invoking and calling upon the name of Jesus, they are in fact baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So the Bible shows us that that is what is to be said. Let's look at it. Acts 2:38, we read it earlier, the Jews, "And be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Samaritans in Acts 8:16, "And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Gentiles, Acts 10:48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord." Even we have a case of rebaptism in Scripture. Ephesians 19. Look at it. Paul came to the coast of Ephesus, finding certain disciples there, said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Unto what then were you baptized? Unto John's baptism. But did not John say that you should believe on him which had come after him, that is on the Lord Jesus Christ?" And the Bible says he preached Jesus unto them. And guess what? And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here's another thing that often when you maybe get into discussion with someone, they say, "Well, so you're saying if I haven't been baptized and what was said over me was that they weren't calling upon the name of the Lord or they weren't invoking the name of Jesus, then you're telling me I'm not saved." Again, no, I'm not. I am not your judge. What I say in regards to one's salvation doesn't mean a thing. But what the Word of God says in regards to one's salvation means everything. And my Bible tells me that I make my calling and election sure. And when Paul preached to these disciples of John, they didn't look back at him and say, well, what do you know? John came before Jesus. So we'll listen to his words. Kind of sounds like this argument when people this, well, I'd rather abide by the words of Jesus. I'm going to say, wait a second. Paul already relieved that argument because he said, did not John say? Didn't John say that you should believe on him that should come after him? So if you want to believe the words of John, you better believe the words of Jesus. Catch this. Understand that when Jesus gives what we call the Great Commission, what Peter does on the day of Pentecost is not in any way, shape, or form in opposition to that. It is not in any way, shape, or form a different formula. It is the formula. It is the understanding. We don't find it where any of the other disciples stood up and said, wait, Pete. No. That was the formula. Peter understood, and Peter preached to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And if you and I think that Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38 are contradictory, then you better throw out the whole Bible. Say again. What does the Word of God say? Every example that we have in the Word of God, even rebaptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what Peter taught. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Look what Paul taught. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So when it comes to the formula or what is said, who we appeal to, who we call upon, who do we invoke? Who's the one that saved us? Who's the one whose blood purchased our salvation? Who was it? From him came on the cross blood, water, and spirit. Jesus. These three agree in one. Who? In Jesus. And so when we invoke and we call upon the name of Jesus Christ, we are invoking the power of Jesus. We are invoking his perfection. For as many of you have been, Galatians 3:27, for as many of you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, you have put on Christ. And when I invoke and when I call upon the name of Jesus Christ, I am invoking the power of that name, the righteousness of that name, the perfection of the name, the holiness of the name, the sinlessness of the name. Because in myself, I am unholy and I am unrighteous and I am sinful. But guess what? Only through him do I have remission of sin. And so when I invoke and I call upon the name of Jesus, invoking that name and calling upon that name remits. So the formula of baptism is calling on the name of Jesus. Now, let's look at Acts 22:16, because here's an area, quite honestly, as begin to look and study, I got a little bit convicted myself. Because somehow, somewhere along the line, we've kind of moved, unfortunately, in a more mainstream denominational way. And let me say why that is. I remember growing up. There was a Bible study at any point in time, anyone saw the necessity and understood the way to be baptized, there was no, well, let's wait till a baptism Sunday service. I know it's going to get tight in here for a few minutes. There was no, well, we're gonna wait, and I'm not against this. Please understand this. We're gonna wait and have my family come, and it's gonna be a. I get that to some extent. But if I really understand and I really see the essentiality of being baptized, at the moment that I see that, there should be a response. Arise now. Why tarriest thou? And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So much so that as Philip is in the chariot, explaining and preaching Jesus unto the eunuch in the middle of the desert, right there at the moment, right there when the revelation and understanding hits this eunuch, guess what? There's water. There's opportunity right there. At that moment, there's opportunity to go down into the water and be baptized. I think sometimes we do ourselves a disservice when we teach and we preach the importance and the essentiality of baptism, but then we put it off. I know, because I'm talking to me too. Whenever someone sees the need, I've heard of them breaking ice to take people down and bury them in the name of Jesus. We say, well, man, that's a little over the top. Really? How can you get more over the top than eternity? How can you, and if I don't know what tomorrow holds. So at the moment that someone understands and someone sees their need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then I should do everything within my power to convince that individual time is of the essence. If you truly understand your need, why tarry? Why wait any longer? Well, I want my family to be there to witness it. I get that. I understand that. But I want to make sure I'm a part of the family of God. I want to have that name applied to my life. And so I just hope. I hope that as believers, we're not moving more towards that more mainline denominational thing where we set apart a certain day to have a baptism Sunday. Now that's all well and good. That's all well and good. I know churches that do it. Even churches among our organization that promote and push a baptism Sunday. But folks, it ain't a baby dedication. It's the way. It's the way. So the Lord's dealt with me. And in the future, when somebody recognizes their need to be baptized, if it's, let's go. Right now. We got robes. We got water. Well, let's just make sure it's heated and it's comfortable. What? I mean, that's all well and good. I hope that that's the case. But my salvation is more important than whether or not the temperature of the water is right. My salvation is more important than whether or not it's a good crowd on that service or it's not a good crowd on that service. My salvation is more important than whether I got a bunch of family here to witness it or I just got pastor or maybe someone else. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. The way. The way. Death, burial, resurrection. Blood, water, Spirit. Do I believe? Do we preach? Do we teach? These things are the way. They're essential. Yes, we do. We make no apology for it. Well, I don't agree. Well, that's your right. And that's your choice. But you see, I'm more concerned with what the Word of God says. I'm more concerned with what the Holy Scriptures show me as to being the way. And it doesn't really matter who would say different. What matters is, what does the Word of God say? Lord Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for your goodness, God. We thank you for your Word that leads us, God. It gives us direction, God, with clear understanding, clear signs, God, to show us the way. to give us the prescription, if you will, for what it means to apply salvation to our lives, God, that we would understand it more fully, God. And Lord, as we seek and we grow, God, and we understand more and more, God, let revelation come to our heart and to our mind, God, that we would see the essentiality, God, Lord, of being a part of it ourselves, God, and applying these things to our lives, to be a part of the way, God, which your word shows and reveals in us. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.